And we want to, verse 8 really was the text that we looked at. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. We learnt last week was the attack, how the God's people were attacked. Really, this week we'll be dealing with the victory, and the victory over this attack. So let's look to the Lord and ask for his help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord. We can read it. How you speak to us. It is a living word of a living God. And we need to hear a voice today. Maybe there's some of your people struggling. We're glad there is victory. And there's victory in the Lord Jesus. And we pray for help around thy word, that everything be said and done for your glory. And we pray for help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Just to turn the clock back for a few moments, we noticed last week how the children of Israel, God's chosen people, were attacked. Remember? Living in this world, walking in this world, following Christ in this world, you'll be attacked. And they were attacked. And we noticed last week some things about the time of this attack. It was sudden. It's just as if out of nowhere, then came Amalek and fought with Israel against Rephidim. No warning was given. And remember, as I said last week, this is how the devil attacks. No warning. He doesn't send anyone before him. But you know last night how Israel was attacked. Well, they knew they were going to be attacked. They knew what time these missiles was going to come to up in towards our boundaries and so on. The devil sends no warning. Suddenly, you could be attacked. Maybe in the past week, child of God, at your workplace, in your home, your community, wherever it may be, your family even, you've been attacked. Suddenly. Yet the word was linked with the word then came Amalek. And we noticed last week, four areas, their redemption. After they were redeemed, they were attacked. And after you were saved, you've been attacked. The devil maybe will let you alone in peace. He has you in the palm of his hand. But after you leave his services, and after you repent from your sin, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he hates that person. He hates that child of God, and he attacks. Well, maybe you'll find that when you come to Christ, he has attacked you. Their redemption, their rebellion, they rebelled against God, they murmured, give space to the devil. He'll attack you. Their resources, great blessings, great blessings. They saw the rock been smitten, and waters, as I noticed last week, like a river came out of this rock. They had a great miracle, they saw a great miracle, great blessings from God. Then they were attacked, and you can have great blessings 1 week, and the devil can attack you the next week. He's watching. He goes about. We notice how they were pitched, they were resting. And when you're resting and you're idle, you're given place for the devil. So that was just really the time of attack and the tactics just to get the contacts for those who weren't with us. He attacked at the weakest point. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 and 18, the record of Moses, he's speaking for the last time to the children of Israel, and he's telling them here, do you remember? That's why he says in verse 17, remember, do you remember what Amalek did to thee unto by the way? When you were come forth out of Egypt, do you remember that time? Do you remember how he came? Do you remember how he attacked you? How he met you by the way? And here's what he said. You smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when I was faint and weary. Notice here he said, do you remember how they attacked? They attacked at the weakest point. At the people at the back. And he attacked those who's feeble and those who were weary. And where does the devil attack the child of God as you seek to live for Christ in these days? He attacks you at your weakest point. And every one of us has a weak point. And my weak point may be different than your weak point. But that's where the devil, that's where he attacks you. Wherever that is. And so we notice here about the time of the attack and the tactics of the attack here last week. So the battle is raging. The battle is on. Amalek has come against the people of God. But we're glad that there is a triumph over the attack. And that's what we find when we come to verse 9, how things are set out to resist this great attack and to fight the enemy. And there's victory. I want to say to every child of God today, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's with his people in this battle. So I want to say here about the triumph over this attack. Notice the resistance to the attack. Plans were set out. Now notice this. Amalek attacks. What do Israel do? They start to resist immediately. I want you to see that. You don't run away when you're attacked. You don't put up the white flag when you're attacked. Not the people of God here in this passage. Plans are set out immediately. And there's a voice arises. It's the voice of Moses, the man of God. And Moses said unto Joshua in verse 9, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And immediately here, there's resistance to this attack. And Moses says, hallelujah, Joshua, you'll go to fight. And I'm going to pray. And we're going to face this enemy. And you can see it here in the passage. Amalek comes against the people of God. And plans are set out immediately to resist this attack. You see where Moses said about there was a captain. Because verse 9, he said unto Joshua. This is interesting because that's the first time in the Bible. This is the first time in the Bible where Joshua is mentioned by name. So no doubt Moses knew Joshua. He knew all about him, that he could be depended upon, that he was strong, that he was a soldier. The word Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. And so we find here that there is a captain here for this battle. And who it's going to be Joshua, a man of war, a man who could fight. He was going to lead this people in the battle. And I say to God's people, you want to remember this morning in the time of your battle, you have a captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, who leads you in the battle. I'm glad I'm not left alone in this battle. I'd be swallowed up long ago. Neither are you left alone as well. You have a captain. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He's with you. He leads his people. He fights for his people. Because in Hebrews 2, verse 12, or verse 10, for it became him from whom all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. But notice that little title that's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the captain of their salvation. Who is the captain of your salvation? It's Christ. And we're always going to be attacked in this world. We're always going to be despised. And we're going to be hated. And there's going to be battles. But we have a captain with us in the battle, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's what we find in Moses. There was a captain. There was a choice. He says, choose us out men. And there's no doubt here, Joshua knew who to choose. He knew who could fight. He knew who he could depend upon. And so he was given this task to get the best men ready to go out and fight. And so he was given this choice and he was given the charge, because look what he says in verse 9. He says to him, he says to Joshua, go out and fight with Amalek. And he says, the enemy has attacked us, Joshua. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to fight. You have to fight the enemy. And you can see here very clearly, the enemy must be faced. Must be faced. There's no running away here from the enemy. And there's no hiding. No hiding from the enemy. Amalek has attacked them. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a fight. And there's going to be resistance. And immediately, the command was given, go out and fight. Go out and face the enemy. No hiding here at all. We don't want to hide. And then there's going to be communion. He says, I'm going to go up on top of the hill. I'm going to pray. And you can see here that there's a twofold resistance. Joshua was going to fight and Moses was going to pray. We've read how Joshua and his men went out to fight. We see them going out to the battle. They're going out because God has sent them out. They're going out to fight against the enemy that has come against them. The enemy must be faced and the enemy must be resisted. That's the teaching of the Bible. And I want to say that in relation to the child of God when we are attacked by the devil. Because we do get attacked. He comes against us with doubts and fears, as we noticed last week. Oh, what have we got to do? We've got to fight. We've got to resist him. We are not to run away. I want to say that again. You're not to run away from this battle. You're not to surrender in this battle. No putting up the flag. There's no turning back in this battle. Not a bit of it. That's what the devil says. Give up. Maybe he's saying to some people here today, give up. It's too difficult. It's too hard. There's too many troubles. There's too many coming against you. It's too difficult in this life to live for Christ. That's the voice of the devil. But the devil must be faced. There's no turning back here. There's no surrender. The devil is to be resisted. He is to be faced. Now, in James 4, verse 7, I want to read the verse. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, all his schemes, all his attacks, they are to be resisted. And this is the teaching of the Word of the living God. When God's people are attacked by the devil, he is to be faced. He is to be resisted. And that's what James was saying over there in his epistle. The Apostle Paul brings all these truths over in Ephesians 6, verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice what he says about this battle. We wrestle. Now you know yourself, wrestling is a close conflict. One gets a hold of each other. And he says, that's what we do with the devil. It's close. It's fierce. There's a conflict. We wrestle. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, many lessons are given here about this battle. And you must say this morning, no, well, how am I going to get the power? How am I going to stand against the devil? Well, verse 10 tells us, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, do you hear what he's saying to every child of God in this battle? Be strong in the Lord and the power, what, of his might. Don't be trusting your own wee muscles. Don't be trusting your own abilities in this fight. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The devil is to be faced. And that's why when we read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it's like a military portion here about battling, about fighting, about equipment. We're told in verse 11 to put on the whole armor of God. And we're given great instructions about that armor. Remember this, child of God. Remember, we're in a war. We're in a battle. Living in this world is not a playground. It's a battleground, and the enemy has to be faced. So here, Apostle Paul is telling us how to face. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he talks about putting on the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel with stability, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And notice, they're covered. They're covered from their head to their feet. But notice when you read about the armor of God here in the Bible, there's nothing covering the back. Not a bit of it. The breast is covered here. The head is covered. The feet are covered. But there's nothing. There's no covering for the back. Why is that? Because we don't run away in this battle. You don't turn your back in this battle. You face the enemy. So we are to be strong, and we are to put on the whole armor of God in this battle. The enemy, the devil, he is to be resisted, and he is to be resisted immediately. So we're finding here, the commands are coming, Paul in Ephesians, we are to be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. And a number of times, by four times he tells them to stand. Take verse 14. He talks about there, about standing their own. In verse 14, Ephesians 6, they are to stand. The child of God is to stand, resist, and fight. back against the devil. And that's the teaching of the Bible. Remember, when Peter was writing on over in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9, and he said to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The same lesson. The same lesson. Peter, he's saying the same thing as Paul was preaching about. And the same thing that happened here over with the children of Israel. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim, and they resisted. They stood immediately and they fought. And I said, every child of God here this morning, you've got to stand and you've got to fight. And God has given you equipment. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And just even take there the shield of faith. You'll be able to quench all the very darts of the devil. You know what happens when people with Christians? The devil fires very darts, doubts and fears, and the child of God just lets them sail all through, and they hit their heart and hit their mind, and then they get cast down and they get depressed instead of holding up the shield of faith that God is with us. The devil says, God has left you. The Lord Jesus said, the shield of faith. I will never leave thee nor forsake you. The devil says to someone, you're not saved. Hold up the shield of faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The devil says, the Lord, he'll cast you out. Hold up the shield of faith. The Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. This is how you fight. This is how you fight the devil. You put all the whole armor of God, that you're able to stand and take up even the shield of faith. And if you're going to resist the devil, you must put on the whole armor of God. He has to be resisted. Now, I want you to just to say this. Remember this. We're soldiers. We're all in the army. Because remember when Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, that thou therefore, notice the words, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's writing to this young Christian man, this young man, Timothy. Timothy, you're in the world. Timothy, you're in the battle. Timothy, it's hard. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to endure hardness. Notice the wording he's saying here. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And seeing we're in the Lord's army, then there's going to be a battle. There's going to be war. There's going to be a war for what have we got to do? Stand and put on the whole armor of God. Well, I said to any Christian today who's struggling, doubts and fears, the devil's attacking you, trying to take away the joy of your salvation. Maybe you've been slandered and hated, despised. Stand and put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. We're not to run away. You're not to run away. You're not to surrender. The enemy is to be faced every day. And so we can put all the whole armor of God. And we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we can stand because Christ is with his people in this battle. And so we find here about the resistance to it. There was this battle. There was this war. But that's only half of the battle. Moses was going to pray. I want you to see this. It's not enough just to resist the devil. You've got to pray. And Moses says here in verse 9, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. Listen here, Joshua, it's not that I can't fight. It's not that I'm not going out to fight. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to the top of this hill, and I'm going to bring the rod of God in my hand, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for this battle. But someone said, what a waste of time. I'm going out to fight and all the hardship and out in the battle and all the dangers, and you're going to take the easy job. You're going to go up there top of the hill and you're going to watch. Well, they're going to find out in a moment or two. It's just not really the easy job at all. It's not the easy job. And Moses says, I'm going to go up, and this rod of God, you can read in the Bible about the rod of God that was Moses was used and did great miracles by this because he had God's power through it in Exodus 14, verse 16, for instance, God says, "But if thy up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And verse 21 says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind." So we find here that there was power in the rod. Listen, the power was the God of Moses, not just the rod. But Moses was going to pray. And he was going up here to the top of this hill, and he was going to pray. And you can find this now. I want you to see it, and you can see it. Everything about the victory rested with Moses. Everything about this rested with Moses praying. Because you read there in verse 11, and if you notice, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." So Moses top of this hill, and he's watching the battle. And when he's crying on to God, he could see what was happening. Israel was winning the battle. But when he let down his hands, the whole thing was changing around. The whole thing was coming against Israel. Then Amalek was taking ground. And you can see very, very clearly here the importance of prayer. The whole thing hinged on the prayer of Moses. And I want you to see here today, we've got to pray. You want to face your enemies. You want to live victorious Christian life over sin, the devil, the flesh. You need to pray. It's not just a wee add-on thing in our Christian life. It's so important. We pray. That's how we prevail. If we don't pray, the enemy will prevail over us. We have got to take time with God in the secret place. It may be difficult for you. You may be busy in your workplace. You may be busy in your family. But you've got to. You've got to take time to pray. Everything in this battle, it hinged here on the prayer of Moses. If we're going to live a victorious Christian life, then you better pray. Maybe you wonder, Noel, maybe you say, "Noel, well, I get defeated at workplace when I go to work every day." Well, I'll ask you this question. Did you pray before you went to the workplace? Did you? Maybe you say, "I didn't." No, I never. Well, not a bit of wonder you're getting defeated in the workplace. You've got to pray. You've got to cry to God for his power, for his help. And Moses, he was praying. Notice here, everything hinged there. Notice Moses' problem in prayer as well, because his hands were heavy. He grew weary. He had to sit down. He had to get a stone for Moses. I want you to see here this morning, there's no mention of Joshua being tired. No mention of Joshua's men being weary. But Moses, he's weary. They had to get a stone and they had to set him down. And we see him, they had to go round a whore and Aaron had to hold up his hands here in the place of prayer. And why is this? I want to say this to you. Here's the reason why it's harder to pray. It's harder to pray. I'm sure we all find that in our Christian life as well. You know, if we say here to the church, we're going to have a day of cleaning around the church. It's going to take us maybe 4 hours. We're going to come to the church, and if you have the time, you roll the sleeves up and you go around in a spade and you're going a bit of crack and a bit of a laugh and you do all the cleaning. And you say, "That's great." But you said this to the congregation, we're going to have 4 hours of prayer and we're not going to move. And we're not going to leave the church. We're going to cry to God with one voice for 4 hours. What do you think is the easiest? Some people say, "Well, I tell you what, I would find that difficult." For 4 hours? It's not easy. And Moses had the hard job. That's why he grew weary in the battle. That's why he had Hor and Aaron. They came, they got a hold of his arms. They needed help, and they're holding them up, and he's crying unto God for victory in the battle. And he had to sit down, as I said. We all need help in the place of prayer. That's why I'm glad people pray for me in the work. It's so important. The Apostle Paul actually said about his ministry, and he was a mighty apostle, a mighty preacher of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Isn't that amazing? He's writing to these people, ordinary Christians. He says, you know something, you're helping us. You're helping us in the ministry. And how will they help us? He said, you're helping us by just by praying. You're helping just by praying for us. And so it's so important that we pray. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. We need to pray together. It's good to come to your prayer meeting here. It's only one night of the week. If you can lay it aside to pray, and pray for your family, and pray for the community, pray for your needs. We need to pray together in this battle, you see. Moses, the problem here, he prayed, he got weary in the battle. But he's still praying. And notice his perseverance. Verse 12, to the going down of his son. That was a long day. It was a long day in the place of prayer. It seemed here as if he prayed all day, crying unto God. He's watching the battle. And as long as his hands was up, he was winning the battle. And you and I have got to pray. And I can say to you today, how long do you pray every day? If you wrote down your prayer time and added it all up, a few minutes in the morning, maybe a couple in the afternoon, well, how long? How long do you pray with God? It's a short time at the end of the day. Now, I know you have to pray and go to work, I understand. But you can pray at work. You can pray driving to work and all of that. We can seek the Lord. But how long do we really pray? Do we really seek God in the place of prayer? We've got to pray. And we've got to keep on praying. In Colossians 4, verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The greatest weapon, according in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so we are to pray. And I say that in the battle, the child of God, he needs to pray. He needs to pray. There's a twofold resistance. Resisting the devil and praying. So I want to say that to you today. This is how we resist. This is how we get the victory. Put on the whole armor of God. Get the armor on. Get your mind covered that no doubts are coming in here. No fears are coming into your heart. You're covered in the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the sword of the Spirit in your hand. You've got the word of the living God. You've got the shield of faith. And when things come, hold it up against the devil. Tell him to depart from you, to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And then remember to pray, and to pray to God. We know how Israel was attacked last night. We heard about it, that warning was given to come upon Israel and what happened. And I saw a little statement. And here's what someone said. I was really touched by it. It said this. One person said a comment on what was taking place in Israel. He says, I'm fighting from home. I will keep praying for the Lord. Well, some people maybe laugh at that. But I didn't laugh when I saw that. One Christian had wrote, I'm fighting from home. I'm praying to the Lord. And that's exactly the very thing we're dealing with here this morning. Someone has said, keep on fighting. There's boys out on the battlefield. There's boys with their weapons, their armor, and they're resisting the enemy. But here, hold on a minute. I'm fighting as well. I'm in this warfare. I'm fighting from home. I'm praying to the Lord, just like Moses. And you and I can pray for Israel from home. We can pray. And so we find here's what they were doing here. They're resisting this attack here. This is how they got the victory. You can see that, how they got the victory, the result of the attack. For it says in verse 13 that Amalek was discomforted, and joyfully discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The word discomfort means to overthrow. To overthrow. They beat them, but I want to say, even though they beat Amalek, on down the line, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, they had to fight him again. They had to fight him again. Amalek was like a thorn in their flesh. And that's the same with every child of God. The Bible says, submit to yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But that doesn't mean you'll not have to fight again. You'll always have to fight. You'll always have to battle the devil until the end of life. Even I would say here this morning, until the going down of his son. But they beat Amalek. They beat him. And we can resist the enemy, and the devil will flee from us. We can live a victorious Christian life. Martin Luther said, I often laugh to Satan And there's nothing that makes him so angry as when I attack him to his face and tell him through God, I am more than a match for him. So Luther was not for running away. And he told the devil, listen, you're no match for me. You're no match for me. I can defeat you. Why could he say this? Because he had on him the whole armor of God. And he cried to God. He was trusting the Lord. He was trusting the Lord with all his heart. Remember that God would give you the victory. Remember that. He gives his people the victory. And the Lord Jesus had victory over temptation. He had victory over the devil because in Luke 4 verse 13, it talks about how the Lord had defeated him. And yet the old devil came again and departed from Christ. And notice the words, it's for a season. For a season. And the devil may get a beating from the child of God, as I already have said, but they're going to have to resist and you're going to have to fight him again and again and again. But we can have victory over the power of darkness. Put on the whole armor of God and pray. And there is victory in Christ for you. Maybe you say, Noel, I've been defeated during the week. Well, there's victory. There's victory through the blood. There's victory through Christ. And we can win the battle. We've won the battle. Remember, Christ has won the battle. He has destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Hebrews 2, verse 14. The devil is a defeated foe. And there, every one of us, we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, but they were defeated. They were defeated. And we can defeat the devil when he attacks us. Stand, trust the Lord. And cry to the Lord. Remember, child of God, he's with you. You have his power, his strength, and he will help you. I think this last thing very quickly about the remembrance of the attack, because in verse 14, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. So we find here there were three things. God says, listen, record this. Record this battle. Write it down in a book. He didn't want people to forget it, you see. And rehearse it. Well, speak it, declare it in the ears here of Joshua. Tell us what happened. And then he tells it about 15, verse 15. He built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nissi, and it means the Lord our banner. And this was how this attack and this victory was remembered. It was recorded in the book. It was rehearsed by lips. And an altar was put up. The Lord our banner. O child of God, remember your victories. Remember how God helped you. Oh, you can remember the battles. You can remember the attack. You can remember the sorrows. You can remember the tears. But remember the joys, how the Lord brings you out of all your troubles. And there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the Lord's our banner, his banner. We're going forth with the banner of the cross. Christ is with his people, and there's victory in Jesus Christ. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim, but they were defeated. Now think of it, every enemy of ours will be defeated and will be lost if they continue in their sin, rebellion against God. It's a wonderful thing this morning to be saved and to know that Christ is in my heart and he's with me in the battle every day, walking with me, helping me, upholding me. Remember, child of God, he's with you. If you're not saved, he's not with you. You need to turn. You need to turn from your sin, repent, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, even this morning, he will save you. But I trust the Lord has encouraged your heart about this battle that took place. And the victory, there's victory in the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad I can say this morning, by the grace of God, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. If God be for us, then who could be against us? No one. No one. He's with us. And he'll bring all his children home. Everyone. Not one will be lost. Not one will be lost. If you are a doubting Christian this morning, you're a faithful Christian this morning, and you're trusting Christ, and you're washing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be lost. Christ will lose none of his people. He'll lose none in this battle. We're all going home to heaven to be with him. May God write his word.